should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. I'd be wearing my six shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive, stealing a young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy, singing those campfire songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy. Yeah, I should have been a cowboy. I should have been a cowboy.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hope your weekend is kicked off in a good way. I know mine is. I'm going to be putting a brisket on a little bit later. But this time of year, Bob, it's hit or miss with the backyard, right? Because if it's cold and windy, that changes everything.
Yeah.
But you and I have backyard kitchens, if you will, loosely interpreted, because that can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. But one of the things that we both have taken note of is the wind direction and where it's coming from, because
big deal.
Wind can knock your barbecue into the next week if you, well, you don't have it protected right.
Especially if you're using a smoker,
right?
Because it's already smoky,
right?
But here's another disadvantage we have. Sort of, we're both using Tech infrared grills,
right?
And because of that infrared, that ceramic glass, they smoke more than any grill you'll ever grill on.
Right.
So no matter what we're using, we're getting our eyes burned.
Right. Yeah.
So it's good to have a cross breeze.
Yeah. So we thought, you know, here we are in mid-February, end of February, and you're like, why are you guys about to talk about building out your backyard kitchen?
Same reason they have all the spring home and garden shows now, because people start planning.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And you got to line up your contractors. If you're aggressive enough to do this all yourself, you still need a bunch of planning that has to happen. So we thought we might dive into that a little bit. We'll get pieces and parts of it. It's by no means the whole show, but
yeah. And the nice thing about that part of it, that planning part, is you can keep your lists and refining your lists and refining them, and then pretty soon you'll have an idea as to exactly what you're going to get. And the big deal is the budget.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want to start now pricing all that stuff.
Right.
You want to go to Garrett's Appliance and look at all the grills. You want to go to wherever and see where you're going to get your patio blocks or your steel or whatever you
got
to do.
And if you've got something real unique, maybe like you want to put some cabinetry out there or something, there may be lead times.
Yes.
On that. And
there
you
will
need to
be.
You need to understand what those are, because like every project, there's an order of things. And if you got something that's in the middle of your project that's got a long lead time, it delays the whole project, right? So these are all common sense things, but, you know, for I don't do it anymore, but for several years I build outdoor kitchens as a profession, as part of our contracting business. And there's a lot to think about.
Did you use particle board?
No, not outside. We're not particle boarding anything. But
you know, I remember years ago when I had my hearth shop, an old friend of ours started a synthetic cabinet business, and he came in with them. They were very pricey, but you know, I own some now.
Yep.
Because I actually repped for one of those factories somewhere. I can't remember where, but I still have the one demo unit I had, and that thing is. It's been outside for 12 years, and it's just fantastic.
Right.
I put a stainless countertop on it, too.
Yeah, right. They're made of a polymer. Yep. It's weather-resistant, not weatherproof, but weather-resistant, but better than wood.
And the woodpeckers don't bother.
That's right. I was going to say, it's much better than wood. You really can't do much outdoors with wood.
Unless you're
completely covered in, and really, then you're not outdoors.
It doesn't matter. Even if you are, you're going to deal with the humidity.
Right. Swelling.
It's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
And rodents, critters, bugs.
Yeah.
No, the synthetics are definitely the way to go. But I think you want to plan out how the thing is going to flow.
Right.
I mean, I would say flow because it's just a great word for a lot of things. But in this case, you have traffic that has to flow. You have product. You have workers or people who are going to be doing the actual work back there. And then you have cash flow.
Right.
So if you get a sense of how the thing goes, what I would do is I would cut out, I'd figure out the pieces that are a must.
Right. So I'll start with that. I'm going to have a gas grill, okay, because or a charcoal grill, but those are two different things in my kitchen,
mm-hmm.
right? I've got one of each. You might want a smoker. Maybe your charcoal grill and smoker could be the same thing if you were using
like
a Kamado.
If it's like a Weber kettle or a Kamado, yeah.
Or something like
yeah.
that if you don't have space. But really, the Kamados are better at convective cooking like an oven than they are with a grill. You open them up, they grab too much air, and your coals get really hot. And you know, but you can back those off. So you could work that.
Well,
but
you're just having a memory flashback
yeah.
because you were on a learning curve on yours.
Right, yeah.
You thought you had to fill it.
Right.
You don't.
No. Fill it with charcoal, he's talking about, and right. then it got red hot when you open it up. And
well,
and
what happens with a Kamado is if you put too much fuel in it, it starts gasifying because you've got it hunkered down. And it's got so much fuel there, it's trying to gasify that fuel. That's how you dry out wood. You gasify it, and then like if you have a high-efficient wood stove, that secondary burn is burning the gases, and they call it secondary combustion. And you experience that with your eyebrows.
Right, yeah. I saw it clearly. We'll say it that way. But what it was is
you were probably brought back to grade school yeah. when they were training us for the look for the flash.
Yeah. So I opened the top and it gulped a bunch of air and it's just this flame ball came out is what he's talking about. But let's get back to this layout because I think it's important. One of the things that I think most people miss in their layout is the space between appliances.
Well, that's where I was heading with this, and I wasn't going to propose to tell them what they should get. I know what I would get. I know
right.
what I have. I have too much stuff in my area,
right.
and I'm trying to figure out where to put more. I figured it out this
yeah.
morning on the slow drive-in. I figured it out.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, for the general person.
Well, but my point is, what I'm recommending is cut out cardboard for those pieces that you've decided you want
yeah.
and set down the placards. When my wife and I built our first house, that's what we did. Is we cut out little pieces of paper and put them on our drawings and move stuff around
right.
and did everything to scale. And,
yep.
and that'll help you visualize.
Well, and there's software programs that do that now too as well that are over the counter. You can buy those, download them, whatever. But
scissors and craft
right,
paper.
Right, right,
Andy.
Yeah. Welcome to the new millennial, Bob. But again, my point is that you need prep surfaces and you need surfaces to put finished product on when they come off one of these appliances. And the typical back start.
Sometimes they're the same.
Right. Yeah,
sometimes they're not.
Typically, you've got two appliances. Let's call one a charcoal grill and one a gas grill, for lack of better description.
And that's a good basic.
Right. So then you got one on your left, one on your right. You should have about 3 feet at a minimum between them because you got raw product, you've got finished product.
So now you just sucked up 9 foot of patio
space. There you
space.
Go. Just, exactly. I'm saying the real estate goes quickly.
That's why I'm saying the cardboard
sure.
pieces, because you might already have the deck there or the patio there.
Right.
And you're trying to, if you're like most of us, you have a wife at home that says everything inside's hers and everything outside is yours. It's not true.
Right.
She's going to be fly-specking everything you do out there because yeah. it's what her girlfriends will think.
Right, yeah. And Lord knows they'll be there when I'm not. So, but anyway. So
well,
that's the tip of the iceberg. We could go on this all day, and we might.
I think we will.
Yeah, all right. You're coming up next, we're going to talk a lot more about laying this thing out, maybe some of the materials that you would like to take a look at. So you list the grilling guys. We're designing your backyard for the next summer. Stick with us. We'll be back.